and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. When I'm a road.
Welcome to the show, folks. That's right. You got the American Adversaries. It is Drive Time Prime Time, and we are coming to you once again very live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. I am Christopher Hart, and along with the chairman of the board, Michael McBath, we are coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And please do not forget, for the very best in general dentistry, health center dentistry, and mercury free dentistry, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. Don't forget to ask him about his great book, Mercury Free. Yeah, we got a big show lined up for you today, and because we are once again live, you can be a part of it as well. And any time, just pick up the phone and call us at 407-774-8255. Like I said, we got a lot to talk about. There's new poll numbers out. We are at 305 and counting on Hillary. Jon Stewart's going to be at SummerSlam. Well, how'd that get in there? We have two new Rangers trained up that we'll be talking about. Planned Parenthood is refusing to provide information on where and how many of their clinics participate in the dissection of infants.
I know where the information is. It's with Hillary's servers.
Yeah, in the servers, in the bathroom.
I mean, can you imagine that?
We're going to get to that.
We've heard that act before, right?
That's right. And did you hear what happened to the Tuskegee Airman as he was going to his granddaughter's house? That's a talk about no respect. And the imposter, I have to say, I tuned into Hannity for a little bit last night, and I heard the voice of Glenn Beck, but man, he didn't look like anything like Glenn Beck of old. So I don't know what's happened to him, but I will say this. He's got a brand new book out, and it's called Islam Is the Problem. So hats off to him for that. No doubt there will soon be.
Do you think he could sell that book at the airport at our new prayer place for the Muslims?
Well, we'll find out.
Wouldn't that be pretty cool, though, with all the all the terrorists? Ooh, that might be right. With all the people come through our airport, right, the most traveled airport in the world,
one
could sit right outside the room and get autographs. You don't have maybe some.
At least there he would be protected.
All right. We'll see. All right. TSA, you think so?
You think so? Yeah, really. So let's get down to the nitty gritty. And by the way, we're also going to talk about some football news. There's some very interesting football news. And of course, the season's starting. And Mike, being, of course, the chairman of the NFL Retired Players Union, we got to talk a little bit of football with him. And he was telling me in the other studio before the show, we were talking with Gary Kaltbaum, that on 9/11, you're going to be going to Buffalo.
I know. I was checking my tickets today. Every year, the Bills invite back the fellows that played five or more years with them if they want to come back.
Right.
And they open up with the Colts. So you go up on Friday. Saturday night, they do a giant fundraiser at the casino. And they have like 1,000 people paid $150, and they'll raise like $100,000 that night. Next morning, you know, a party for the Wounded Warriors. Then you go in, sit in the owner's box, and after that, the next day, golf tournament for another group of charities, and then the next day, they put you on the plane and send you home. But you're right. I was looking at my ticket going, when am I leaving? They go, you're leaving 9/11. I said, that's going to be the beginning of my day of rage.
No, actually, your day of rage. We're
it's coming.
We'll start that. We'll get to that in the next hour of the show. But I want to talk some politics first. We'll talk some new poll numbers that are out. We'll talk also about Hillary and her 305 and counting. You know, they canceled 19 and counting, the Duggar family. Well, we replaced it with the Hillary saga, 305 and counting, 305 questionable emails in terms of them being perhaps highly sensitive documents, shall we say. And by the way, when these documents go back and forth in intergovernment, they don't come, you know, like in the movies, stamped top secret across it. It just comes across your desk, and it's up to you to know
is
sensitive information in regard to who the information is coming from, in regard to the subject matter. It's up to you to know. And of course, the presumption is that it's all sensitive matter, right?
Particularly when you're Secretary of State, don't you think you would be the one that would dictate where everything stands? And I mean, it's just it's so hilarious watching this lady squirm. When reality is, we all know, guilty. You know, it's just beyond my belief that anybody could believe anything that comes out of her mouth at this point.
Well, fewer and fewer people are.
Yeah, obviously, you got the poll numbers.
That's what the new CNN poll is showing. Let me first go to the Republican numbers, and then we'll get around to Hills. Republicans, CNN poll, once again, this is post-debate, post-Megyn Kelly, post all that business. Donald Trump is up 6 points in this poll to 24%. Which coincides with the poll that we were talking about last night. You weren't here, but there's another poll we were talking about, Fox poll, we were talking about yesterday and Sunday. Jeb Bush fell to 13%, but he maintains the second place spot. But the gap between the two is widened. Ben Carson moved up 5 points to 9%. Rubio comes in at 8. Walker comes in at, I believe, 8. Ted Cruz fell a little bit, actually, to 6% in this poll. Carly Fiorina rose 4% to 5. And more importantly, and perhaps more problematic for the Republican establishment, or the Republican establishment, as Bob Woodward likes to say, and we're going to get to him and some comments that he made recently.
I heard those in a minute. Right.
The Republicans by 44%, and this is over the rest of the field, so that the other 56% was broken up amongst the rest of them. So Trump is the best on immigration, according to Republicans. Trump is the best on economy by 45%, and Trump is the best on handling terrorism, the Islamic threat. Right. And so he has bested the rest and continues to do that. And once again, you know, as I said, I liken him to Moby Dick, because we still have all the Ahabs out there who are confounded by him and are just going out of their way to try to bring this man down, even to say that he's jeopardizing the Republican Party, he's jeopardizing the Republican brand, he's doing this, he's doing that. No, what he's doing is he's generating excitement in the Republican Party. He's generating a little bit of excitement in the Republican brand, and if it's comparing him to a bunch of boring old sad sacks, well, the public prefers the excitement.
Chris, I don't know if you. I know it seems like there's so many surveys around, right? I saw one the other day, and it went from it was done by an individual out of Stanford, tied in with another group from Berkeley, and if they went 1 to 7, 1 means let everybody across the border. 7 would mean don't let anybody in the country. Now
and
watch this.
Send people back.
Right. Well, number 7 was 25%, meaning 25% of the people polled on this were absolutely against anybody coming in the country. And then the 7 and 6 were 50%. So what happens is Trump, by being so aggressive in that sector, has really outdueled all the other politicians on this issue. And he, for some reason, knows where the public is thinking. I guess when you live in a beltway, you all just have the same mind trend. You know, I don't know. But I love it. I love it.
You would think that a man of his wealth would perhaps be the one most out of touch. But in fact, compared to both fields, we're talking about Republicans and Democrats.
Right.
He's the one who is most in touch. And we are now seeing some of the other candidates sort of migrating in his direction on these issues. And it's only going to continue. The problem is they are not going to be able, I'm afraid for them, they are not going to be able to better him at what he does best. And that is sell his brand and sell his message. And if that brand and that message become the United States, that is a good thing. It is a good thing for politics. It is a good thing for the Republican Party. It is a good thing for all of us. And for people to discount him and try to discredit and disparage him because they don't approve of his brand of politics just shows you how out of touch they are with the American public, and the way politics is really played. I've actually heard people say, oh, I don't like him because he's doing what the Democrats do. Duh!
They've won quite a few elections.
Exactly. That's why they win elections.
Right.
Because they know how to pull people's chains. They know how to push people's buttons. They know how to be passionate.
And they don't back off.
And they don't back off.
Right.
And when they see it happening on the Republican side, it's confounding.
Chris, what I like, too, is there another poll, the millennials. Everybody says, will they get them? Yes, they will, because most of them want to be entrepreneurs. They know this guy is a great entrepreneur. They admire the money he made. So he's going to collect a lot out of that group, too.
You better believe it, because they follow success.
That's exactly right.
Right.
You know?
Why do they follow the Kardashians? What's so special about them? They are perceived, whether
wealthy.
They are or not, to be wealthy and successful.
Right.
That's
right.
The only reason anybody gives a doggone. Right? Except for a little bit of voyeurism thrown in. All right, let's go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we'll get to the Hillary side of the polls and her continuing saga, which is not going to go away anytime soon. And the Obama White House will make sure of it. Isn't it sweet?
Oh, yeah.
I'm a loser, and I'm not what I appear.
Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. That's our ode to Hillary there. You are listening to the American Adversaries. And Mike McBath, you know, I was watching TV this weekend, and they were showing the candidates, or at least a couple of them, mostly Trump and Hillary, parading around the Iowa State Fair up there. And as Trump was parading down, you were seeing people running up and getting selfies with him. He was very gracious, signing autographs, shaking hands. Of course, he gave the kids the ride on his chopper there and everything. And you heard people, you know, in the crowds saying things like, "We love you, Donald. We want to save our country, Donald. Keep going, Donald," that kind of thing. And then they showed Hillary Clinton walking around. Now, she had people following her around, kind of doing the same thing, much smaller crowd, though.
Yeah.
But the only thing
were
I heard...
Were her eyes glassy? Meaning all the people around her?
Yeah, the only thing that I heard anybody say to her, though, from the crowd was, "Do you think you're going to prison?" And, of course, that's never a good thing when your candidate is being, you know, shouted that when she's walking around.
But you know
around.
What? I'm glad they do. I mean, I believe these politicians, many of them, for what they've done to the American people, you know, in all aspects of life, jobs, taxes, you know, morality.
Yeah.
You know, these people need to be abused. And she is no queen. If anything, you might be closer to a king. But
of course, Nostradamus knows about your T-shirt, so he said he didn't know that you were in Iowa this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have to tell you, every time she appears, my T-shirt in value. You know, it started off at $20. I think right now I'm about $140.
But tell people, some of the folks out there may not know
what the T-shirt says. And I love it. And the colors, you know, it's like red, white, and blue. And it says, "Hillary for prison 2016 or sooner." Now, I'm afraid with all this news coming out of 305 and counting, my concern, I better get the 16 off and move it back to 15, because I want to center one when she hits the big house.
I think you can leave it at 16, because...
Oh, yeah, with our way of putting people away, it'll be probably 2080.
Well, not only that, but I believe that the Obamas are going to enjoy seeing her slow cook on the skillet, so to speak.
Plus, the other thing we were talking about is I was over again working out the day, and I'm telling you, I must have had 8 people at the workout place, RDV, come up to me, and they go, "Wow, man, where do you get that?" You know, and I'm surprised, because they didn't look like they were always a staunch Republicans.
Your T-shirt.
But they loved it.
Yeah.
And then better than that is my bumper sticker, Chris, on my car. One of my friends, listen to this, somebody stole a sticker off his car. How about that? I mean, that's demand, you know? So
either demand or it was a Hillary fan.
I know. I figured they'd have broke his windows if it was a Hillary person. They actually purposely, like, slipped it off with no pieces left or anything else. So I think that's a guy that was jealous and wanted one.
I bet
so
it was.
I'll be looking for him on the highway.
All right. 305 and counting. The IGs, that's Inspector Generals, have looked at 1,500 of the some 60,000 emails. And out of that 1,500 of the 60,000, they have found 305 and counting so far that are questionable as to their sensitivity, what she knew about them, why they were being held on her server, which, by the way, we found out today was not being held in the basement of the house up in Chappaqua being guarded by the Secret Service. It was in a bathroom closet in a residential apartment in Colorado. And it was being held there along with a couple of other servers, mostly for the people who were holding this for her, a mom and pop organization. And of course, it was highly accessible just by a burglar. But as we've said on the show before, that's not the real threat. Of course, the real threat is not where the server physically is. I mean, that's kind of a joke. And of course, it gives a whole new meaning to the phrase wiped clean.
Oh.
But the server was accessible by hackers. And that's the real problem here.
I mean, why would she have put it there, Chris? Do you think? I mean, you know what my theory is? Honestly, God, before this thing's over, this whole thing's going to come down that she was out there hustling the heads of states. Bill Clinton would follow up, pick up, you know, tens of millions of dollars. I'm telling you, this was a greed act, which she's getting herself caught. And I mean this, you know, and she sold the American public down. She doesn't care if we get blown off the face of the earth. All she cared about was, I'll fill my foundation, I'll get my $200 million, and I love it when they give out $10 million, you know, 10% of the foundation, and everybody says, oh, it's wonderful they help all these people. Hey, how about the other $90
million? Right.
But I'm telling you, this is going to be a major part of it before these emails are over.
And all of this is, of course, another reason why Barack Obama is angry at the Clintons. They did all of this because they were trying to hide this from everybody, including him. Right?
He wants some of that money.
He doesn't like, you know, to be lied to or have things hidden from him.
Oh, wait, Chris, he doesn't like to be lied. He lies to every single Obamacare.
Of course, that's a double standard. It doesn't matter.
That's right.
Of course, he's the king. He's the king. He has to exercise that prerogative every now and then.
Dancing queen, Chris. Dancing queen.
That's right. But the new CNN poll shows her still ahead of Bernie Sanders, but the gap closing. And it also shows that her trustworthiness amongst Democrats is
underwater.
It's 55%, I believe it was, of the Democrats do not believe she is trustworthy. And all of this, of course, makes her questionable in terms of her being a legitimate candidate. And the Democratic Party is definitely worried about this. Barack Obama, I don't think, is worried. I think he's just fine with all of this because it means that her chances of being the next president are less and less. And whether it's Joe Biden or somebody else, I'm convinced that he does not want her to be president of the United States. So much so that I think he would even be satisfied with, say, Jeb Bush as the president of the United States? Because what's Jeb really going to do to change what Barack Obama has done?
Right. Nothing will get done.
Right.
Right.
And even if he wanted to, does he really have the leadership capacity to do it?
Right.
Because as I said on the show Sunday night, it's not going to be enough to get a Republican in the White House. Because most likely, if the Republicans maintain control of the Senate, they are still not going to have 60 seats, which means they are not going to be able to override any filibusters. So the Democrats and Harry Reid or Chuck Schumer or whoever the leader happens to be is going to be only too gleeful to sit there and be the monkey wrench in all of Jeb's or Marco's or Scotty or Kasich or any of their grand plans. None of them will succeed because they will not be able to do what so far I believe only Donald Trump, perhaps Ted Cruz, but only Donald Trump has proven that he can do. And that is sell his message to the people who then will override Congress and say, you better doggone well do this. That's what Reagan had going for him. That's the only reason Tip O'Neill would do business with him. Plus, Reagan was he knew how to handle Tip O'Neill. I'll never forget when Ronald Reagan first became president, his first term, one of the first things he did after the inauguration was over and the parties were all over, first thing he did was he packed himself into his limousine and had the driver take him down the road to Tip O'Neill's office in the Capitol building. And when he came out, people asked him, they said, well, what'd you tell Tip? And Reagan looked at him, and in his own way, of course, he goes, well, I let Tip tell me. You see, this was a man who knew how to work with people. He knew how to negotiate. Who most of the Republicans does this? Donald Trump. That's right. It is a huge mistake, I believe, for the establishment and other conservatives out there to discount Donald Trump. What you should really be doing is trying to fully understand why he is being so successful. And it's because he is passionate, he is emphatic, and he has this can-do attitude. We have for too long been told, we can't do this, we can't do that. More EPA rules out today. You can't do this. And while it can't...
Yeah, well, they burn down everything.
And in that can't means we're all going to pay more. That's right. What you mean when you say can't. You can replace the apostrophe with the dollar sign, right? C-A-N, dollar sign, T. Because that's what it means. And that's what he knows. And that's why he brings this can. Oh, yes, we can. We can build a wall. We can make this country great again. All we have to do is set our mind to it. It's not that hard. And it is not. A few simple solutions. Jack down dramatically the corporate income tax rate, or do go to a severe cut, flat tax, fair tax. That immediately would begin the capital movement. Build the fence. Do something about immigration. Let loose the energy companies and watch the economy boom.
That's the right story. The numbers are proving it. So, and again, we'll touch back on this when we get up this spring.
Yep, we'll be right back.
Tough guy.
Ho! And away we go with the second half of the first hour of the show. The American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time is that show, and we are here live on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer. I'm Christopher Hart, along with the chairman of the board, Mike McBath. We're in the studio. Pete Paquette, once again, is on the bridge tonight. So if you'd like to give us a call, he'll certainly be happy to patch it on through.
Chris, I have to tell you a hacksaw story. I have to jump in.
Okay,
Hacksaw, you know, one of our Hall of Famers in WWE.
And that was Hacksaw on our return.
That was Hacksaw
there.
Jim Duggan.
Right.
And Hacksaw, every time he comes to Orlando, stays at my house, and we're great friends and everything. But, you know, great wrestlers aren't always great golfers, right? So we're over there, and, you know, Reggie, and we'll
Reggie
get to
Branch.
Him soon,
yeah.
Myself, another fella, and Hacksaw. Well, Hacksaw tees off on the first hole at Aliquah. The head of his club flies over a fence, goes into the pool. The ball goes into the pool, and I said, Jim, this is probably the best shot I've ever seen you have. But, I mean, this guy is a...
Try to do that again,
I mean,
though,
you talk
right?
about a
Just
character.
Try to do it again.
But, you know, the irony about the fellow is, you know, he looks like some type of animal or something, right? Well, you know, he's actually a graduate of SMU.
Oh, he's very smart.
Oh, I know. Yeah. And, I mean, I always get a kick out when you introduce him to somebody, they don't know who he's there, like, looking and thinking, what is this guy? And the guy speaks the King's English.
He does.
Which is absolutely hilarious.
He does.
Great guy.
He's a great guy. And you know who else is a big fan of wrestling is Gary Kaltbaum. And we were just talking with Gary in the other studio here a few minutes ago, and... he's going to be in New York this weekend. He's going to be on Fox, and he's going to be on Fox Friday morning, the Fox Business Channel, with Maria Bartiromo, Friday from 7 to 9, and he's going to give his take on Donald Trump. And I think you'll find it very entertaining, informative, and worthwhile to watch. So that's Friday morning, Fox Business Channel, 7 to 9 a.m. with Maria Bartiromo. So be sure to catch Gary. He's a great guy and great insights. And he told us something about the EPA we're going to talk about here in a few minutes. But you mentioned Reggie. And, of course,
right?
Reggie is one of the contestants in our spaghetti eating contest.
I got to tell you, this is going to be very exciting. I contacted the Pret Heads. Now, the Pret Heads are the fan club of the Predators. And they
Who unfortunately
heard,
now have some weekends on
yeah,
their hands.
Unfortunately, they got a few more weekends off than they wanted.
Yeah,
but,
right.
You know, now Reggie has challenged obviously anybody. Reggie's about 6 foot, 265, played in the NFL 6-7 years, went to the Super Bowl, nicest guy you'll ever eat. But meat. See that? I'm talking about nicest guy you could ever know. But the reality of it is, we're going to have our spaghetti contest. He wants to start off with a pound of spaghetti and 2 meatballs. That's what everybody's going to start off with. We got a challenger from the Pret Heads, and they're going to bring their group to support him because this is going to be done just like a football game.
Yep.
We're going to do live, you know, from the radio. You and myself will be involved with
By the way, that's a pound dry weight,
I know.
Pasquale said, which would be about 4 or 5 pounds when he
is going to be great.
And Ken Dehek said the Shriners are going to put up a contestant.
Okay, and I think we got a woman, and I'm looking forward to a woman entering this because, you know, the person who won the last contest Reggie was in with a 64-ounce steak was a young man from UCF. He weighed 140 pounds. Here's Reggie at 265, and he just bowed out. Boy, he couldn't go any further. It's going to be some good laughs.
It's all in the technique. By the way, folks, that's going to be September the 28th. That's a Monday, September the 28th. Of course, at Cafe Positano, only the finest Italian restaurant in all of Central Florida. And if you'd like to make a reservation for that night or any other night or day, you can do it by calling them at 407-774-8080. That's Cafe Positano, 407-774-8080. And please make plans to be there Monday, September the 28th, for our spaghetti eating contest. And if you are a member of the American Adversaries Army, you don't have to be present to win, but that will be the night that we'll have the drawing for our a ticket giveaway for our Come Sail Away With Me cruise. One of our members of the American Adversaries Army is going to be able to go on that cruise for free should they choose to do so, and the ticket would be transferable. So to become a member of the Army, all you have to do is go to our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, click on over to the recruiting office, and you can sign up right there online, or it'll tell you how to do it through the mail, and we'll do it either way. And you'll get a great newsletter. The July one is coming out right now, this week, and we're already working on the August one, and they'll have coupons and stuff in them, and you'll also, of course, be entered in that drawing, and we got other things as well planned.
Chris, what I like, too, is the number of people who are signing up for the Army, because they all understand that where this money goes is into telecast because, you know, we're in a position here.
Broadcast.
But we're in a position
we're
going to be on TV soon. But the reality of it is, you know, we want to be able to get the message out. You know, the political message. We know that this country faces a major, major political crisis. And I think with the supporters we have, it's absolutely terrific. And I think with all the benefits they get by just being part of the Army, you know, I'd rather see the money go to this organization than go to a local politician who's out Del Frisco's with his girlfriend having drinks, and that's your contribution, right? I don't think so.
And the monies from the Army do go directly into the show, as we've told you before. We pay for the airtime. We don't get paid for doing this yet. All right, let's go to Stan on the line right now. Stan, thanks for calling. We appreciate you being out there.
Thank you, Chris. Grooves, you told me Donald Trump is Ronald Reagan with a New York edge, that Donald is a reincarnation of the Ronald, and there is an excess of ignorance among the GOP establishment along the D.C., New York, Boston corridor, which is just appalling. I call them the Acela elites with their own little bullet train subsidized by us. They have no clue. I include the Wall Street Journal. And I'm a subscriber. I mean, I like the paper, but these guys have no clue about the anger and the degree to which the social fabric is tearing asunder unless we get the Trump Cruz ticket elected. And I think they'll beat Biden Sanders by a long shot.
Stan, have you ever lived up in that Washington area?
Yes, I have.
I'm very used to it, and I've been to Penn State, and I worked in that area for a while. But the main thing behind it, they do have a whole mentality that is so different than what goes on, let's say, in this area.
They perceive themselves as the intelligentsia. They know there's more than we do.
But the reality is, Washington right now, and this is really a sad story, but it tells you how corrupt it is the wealthiest city in the world. Right now, per capita. Isn't that a wonderful tribute to these people, the politicians? You people can do it without even working.
Yeah. The sad thing about the Republican talking heads and the elite is they're so busy trying to trash the man that they're looking past what he's doing right. If they would just take note of what he's doing right, perhaps the Republican Party could implement it themselves. I mean, it's like watching to use an analogy with sports, because my professional football player, it's like watching a great player on the other team and trashing his technique rather than trying to figure it out and implement it yourself.
I know, he's all pro and you're on the bench.
Right, exactly. That's what we see going on here.
That's exactly right.
You see Donald Trump standing next to the rest of these people, you go, there's the professional, and there are the amateurs, right?
They're looking on, watching the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Stan, you like spaghetti?
No, I didn't see see the game. I'm not sure what you're referring to, but that's why I call it an axis of ignorance, because they're incorrigible. I mean, all their, let's face it, the spouses, the cousins, the nieces, the nephews, they all work for Commerce. They work for the EPA. Yeah. It's like a giant working welfare system up there.
It's an incestuous relationship, and we need to end it, and nobody on the inside is going to be able to do that because they are part of the incest.
And one thing, too, Stan, is I don't know if you have any children, but you saw a while back Obama's proposed these Pell Grants for prisoners. So I was trying to figure out if I ever had any more children, how I could educate them and then also get them money early without me paying anything. So I was going to have them say, look, son, what you do, you go out, you commit a minimal crime, go to jail for just a little bit, go take the ACT or the SATs, get a good score, then we'll go to college, you won't need to pay it back, and then I'll walk you across into Mexico, and then I'll have you cross back over again, then I'll get you a cell phone, I'll get you some money, and I'll get you a place to live. There's the American dream right there. No one needs the work.
I know. I was talking to a guy one time, and I was telling him, you know, Social Security is a Ponzi scheme, and he said, I don't care. I said, what do you mean you don't care? What happens when the Ponzi scheme collapses? He says, well, I'm just going to go down and hold up a post office. I said, well, what good is that going to do? He says, they'll put me in federal prison and take care of me the rest of my life. So, you know, there's always an alternative plan out there, right, Stan? Hey,
yeah,
thanks for calling. We appreciate
you guys.
All right, thank you. Thanks for being out there. So there's always a plan B. I think he misunderstood my question about the spaghetti.
Actually, you know, I was thinking about that too. What we could do to Reggie, this would be a great idea. If he looks like he's getting out in front, I'm going to have some peppers and put him in his spaghetti.
Oh, no, you can't do that.
We'll block him from winning the trophy.
No, we can't do that. You know, because Reggie's our representative.
No,
right?
I know.
He's our man. He's our team.
He's going to be worthwhile just being there. I mean, this guy has more stories.
Though.
This is the funniest guy you ever met.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Of course, we'll do a live remote broadcast starting at 5. Spaghetti eating contest. We'll kick it off about 6:30 and get it going. So, once again, that'll be the 28th. All right. We're just about ready to take a break. We'll take that break here in a few seconds, but on Saturday there's a great show here on AM 660 The Answer, and of course now FM 105.5, and that is Armed Room Radio. Armed Room Radio, a couple of great guys do it, Aaron and Mike, and they have a gun show going this weekend. It's in Mineola, so if you're out there in the Mineola area, you might want to take in the gun show and say hello to the guys from Arms Room Radio. It's $6 to get in, free parking, and it'll be all day Saturday and Sunday in Mineola. Tell
Chris, you know, one thing, too, when you go to a gun show, you're going to realize why you need a gun.
If they got one, why need
one?
Yeah,
you're going to realize it real quickly, you know.
Yeah, especially in many old pieces. All right, welcome. We'll take the break and we'll be right back. Back to the show, folks. That's right. You got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. And we are coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And because, once again, the Rays are in Texas tonight, we'll have the airwaves right up to straight up 7 o'clock. All right, that was our intro music for China. And China's at it again, or not at it again, or something. Their market took another big dive overnight. Our night.
Yeah.
And now the government is changing strategy in midstream.
Yeah, I mean, you look at last night. I mean, this was a tremendous fall, 6% fall in one day. And actually, that evolved is when the government came out and they said, well, we're not sure we're going to subsidize the stock sellers anymore. In other words, put cushion in there underneath them and motivate it with buying themselves, et cetera.
Propping up the prices.
Well, I think I can't wait to wake up tomorrow morning, because I think they may get whacked pretty good, because, you know, if you know they're always subsidizing, you know you can't get too far behind. But now that they pulled that, I wonder how many people are just going to say, you know what, the economy's not very good, we're way overbuilt, people are losing jobs, what are we going to do about our imports? I think there's so many problems there, and there's been a couple books written about, you know, the fall of China in the next 10 years, you know, economically, that I just, I don't know if this is the beginning or not. And the problem is, where China has gotten so much support is the middle class has made so much money in the market. It went actually went up like 150% in the last year's time.
In 1 year.
These people just assume you put money in, you know, you make money, you go buy Rolexes, you buy your car. Well, guess what? It can go the other way where you give back your Rolexes, you give back your car, because we as Americans have seen this. And I don't think they got a grasp over there. Plus, they don't have the expertise we have in just, I don't want to say market manipulation, but in working the markets themselves, like the exchanges.
Right.
So, you know, this could be a very traumatic fall. And my other concern is, what is the Communist Party going to do if they're not, you know, will these people be loyal? They're loyal when they're prosperous, but if it goes the other way, are we going to see the Communist Party go toward a nationality push, you know, meaning nationalism? And guess who might become one of the victims? Us. Because, you know, they made it very clear in the South China Sea, we don't want to see you Americans there. We made it very clear that they're going to come after us with their Air Force. Because their Air Force, because they stole most of the stuff from us.
Technology.
You know, off of Hillary's server. But, I mean, the reality is. But the point is, you know, when you desperate times will cause desperate things. And I just hope we make it through the next year and a half with this president we have who has, you know, decapitated our military.
Not only that, but they've been devaluing their currency.
Right.
Trying to be able to sell more products on the market. And, of course, that creates downward pressure around the world, and you get into this sort of downward spiral. And then the Wall Street Journal, on top of this, the Wall Street Journal had an article today, the Wall Street Urinal is staying.
I like that. First time I heard it put that way. That's very appropriate, right?
But it had an article today talking about how the government and other economists are beginning to understand and fear that should we have, the United States, another financial crisis, that we don't have anything much that we can do about it. That we had these a number of tools in 2008. You may not have liked them. TARP,
the stimulation,
dropping the interest rates, mm-hmm. printing money, all of that. That stuff has already kind of played out, especially the interest rates. With interest rates at zero to 25 basis points, you can't really go down much more from there. And you can't have the Fed paying interest rates out to loan money. That just kind of doesn't work. So should we have another problem? And, of course, China, if they continue to or begin to actually go into a free fall, they will create problems that will reverberate around the world. And then, of course, you have the military element that would creep into this whole thing.
Plus,
because
that
would be the way a desperate government would try to maintain its grip on power. Just look at Vladimir Putin and what he's been doing.
And that chemical explosion, you know,
Yes.
You know that happened. They have two other sites exactly like that. And, you know, that in itself has caused so much aggravation to the government. I mean, look at the number of lives have been lost. Look at, I can imagine how it's regulated, right? You know, in other words, this was terrible. So they got a mixture of bad things going on. And I just hope it isn't too horrible a capitulation in the sense that then I'm just afraid. I did see today, I sort of had a laugh at this. They sold Thailand 3 submarines. Oh, my God. You know what I mean? But
they will become.
I don't think they'll make it off the. I don't even know if they know how to sail them, right? You know what I mean?
Well, that's true. But what it indicates, though, is that China is going to become more and more of a
weapons export
provider around the world.
Iran, they're doing a deal with China for 100 of the top Air Force fighters that they have out there.
Right.
Now, that's part of that deal? Oh, yeah.
Isn't
that just terrible?
Yeah, well, see,
just irks
they'll
me
only
no
put
end.
It to good use, according to the president's assumptions, anyway. But one thing that the Chinese, I hope they're learning from all of this, is that the government trying to manipulate things ultimately makes things worse. You know, this is where Adam Smith called it the hidden hand of the economy. If you let an economic system, a market system, a market economy, you let it handle the ups and downs, they will be there. They will always be there, but they will be far more tolerable and easier to ride out, especially in the long term.
I mean, ultimately, they cure themselves.
Correct.
You know, it's just how much damage is in the cure. The problem, as you brought up earlier, with our economy, we've kept rates so low. And a lot of people don't understand rates at some point, if we don't go into another downspin, will eventually rise. But do you know what that will also do to our national debt, which is running out of hand?
It'll go up.
Oh, my God. It'll just accelerate it. So we are ourselves are sort of caught in a trap. But as we talked about the other day, when you see like a day like this where the Chinese market drops 6%, you get a kick out of this. So just look up the 10-year Treasury. When that happens, immediately the 10-year Treasury drops. You know, because really, to me, that's the greatest indicator of how an economy's doing is looking at what the yield is on the 10-year Treasury. And, you know, it's like today, you just watch it and you'll see it back off. And because they're all talking about, well, they're going to raise rates. They're going to raise rates in September. Well, the 10-year Treasury now doesn't look like they're going to raise in September. But I'm looking forward, you know, hopefully it doesn't happen. But I got a real concern tomorrow morning could be a real winter. So we'll see.
We shall see. And, of course, the price of oil dropping, the price of commodities dropping in this country and around the world has a lot to do with the fact that the Chinese economy is stalling. Used to be when the United States sneezes, the rest of the world gets the flu. Now it kind of is China. So we will be watching that. But you said something a minute ago. You said how much damage in the cure. And that, you know, is something that I don't think the government often enough takes into account. For instance, take into consideration this EPA thing, right?
Right.
They got new rules out today governing the methane. I'll get to that in a minute. But this river disaster in Colorado, where
right.
they let loose these base chemicals and base elements from this mine
right.
into this river that where people were getting their drinking water from. Gary Kaltbaum was talking about on his show last night. We were talking about it before the show today. That the EPA had consulted some geologists and mineralogists about this situation. And they said, leave it alone. Don't do what you're planning on doing. You can cause a big problem to happen. And so what did the EPA do? They went ahead and did it anyway. And what happened? Exactly what the geologists told them was going to happen. But see, they knew better. They were going to cure a problem, you see?
You know,
the cost in curing the problem is going to be huge now. And, of course, are any of them going to pay?
No.
Of course not. And they're out there saying, well, the EPA will clean this up. Well, what does the EPA use for money to
Chris,
clean it up
you're
with?
Going to clean it up.
Right.
I'm going to clean it up. Your
right.
kids are going to clean it up.
Exactly.
And that's what makes you sick. I think the punishment we should do is take everybody in that department and take them out to the stream and have them all drink a glass of water.
especially since they've been saying it's clean now.
Now that it's clean, yeah. We had to fly a whole plane load of people from Washington and say, well, listen, we're having a big picnic. You're going to start by chugging a gallon of water. And then we'll see if they turn green, yellow, blue, whatever.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then, of course, today the EPA has announced some new rules on methane.
You know, and let me tell you, that is so devastating to American industry. But, I mean, we will see. I don't believe these rules are because they're all going to be contested in court. You know, and I think, again, when we throw this bum out of office permanently, you know, we can probably change him as quickly as we
get the right person in there.
I know.
You know, a lot of this. You know,
oh my God, this will be disastrous.
George W. Bush was going to have us growing switchgrass, if you remember.
Well, that's good for pheasant hunting.
Yeah, switchgrass, so we can make ethanol to put in our gasoline.
Right.
I mean, he bought into all this nonsense, all this, you know, craziness. What the cost of these new regulations would be outrageous, because methane is a byproduct of drawing natural gas
right.
and oil out of the ground.
Job loss. Major. And you know what? The heating, to the cost of heating to the poor up in the Northeast when we get into these exceptionally cold winters, you know, that's going to be another devastating blow to these people that, you know, that are on the poor side of our economy.
You know what would be the best way to encourage energy companies to trap the methane, which, by the way, they're already doing? Encourage utility companies to burn it for energy. In other words, you commoditize it. You put a hold on it, right? You make it a desirable commodity that people will pay for, and I guarantee
right.
you the energy companies will go out of their way on their own to trap every little bit of it they can. And guess what? They're already doing that. The market itself will clean itself up because there's money in it.
But you know, Chris, we ought to actually have some water shipped in here, maybe test it with some.
Well, maybe during the break, because we got to take it. We'll be back.
Okay, see
Craig,
you later.
We'll get to you. Hold on.
Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's see. We're back.
We're the American Adversaries. It is Drive Time Prime Time here in Central Florida. And that means we are coming to you live from FM 105.5 on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And please do not ever forget, for the very best in mercury free and health centered dentistry, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. I, of course, am Christopher Hart. Along with me in the studio today is the chairman of the board. That'd be Michael McBath, Buffalo Bill, Penn State Nittany Lion, stock trader.
I'm getting excited about the football season, which we're going to get into a little bit later in the show.
Yeah, we'll get that.
We got some words of wisdom, I think.
Yeah, we got some cool football news.
You got it.
So
that's right. Winning or whining. We'll get to that. I like to think of winning or just drinking wine, but it's winning or whining.
We'll get to that for sure.
Yeah.
We're going to have Mike's going to give us an outrageous, he's going to do a little rage here thing in here a few minutes. And, of course, you can join us at 407-774-8255. Pete Paquette is on the bridge, so he'll be happy to take your phone calls and patch you or your message right on through to us. Real quick review in the first hour. We talked about there are some new poll numbers out. Seems like a new one comes out just about every day anymore. But CNN has a nationwide poll out post-debate, post-Megyn Kelly, post all that business. Donald Trump is gone up 6% in this poll, 6 points, to 24. Bush fell to 13. Ben Carson rose to 9. Rubio's in at 8. Walker's in at about 8. Cruz fell a little bit to 6. Carly Fiorina rose to 5. The rest of them fall in behind that. And perhaps more perturbing to the people who don't like Donald Trump and don't think that he belongs, and according to Republicans in this CNN poll, 44% think Trump would be best on immigration, 45% think he would be best amongst all the candidates on the economy, and a like margin says also on handling the Islamic State or the problem of terrorism. So he has definitely not been beached by any of the Ahabs. Moby Dick lives, and he's even bigger and stronger and badder than ever. And he's getting better and better on the campaign trail. More and more people are taking him seriously, much to the chagrin of a lot of conservatives who don't think that he... And this is where I think kind of they're missing it, too. Once again, we liken politics to professional wrestling. And the reason I do that is because they have a lot in common, a lot similar. And for the people who understand that, and they don't have to express it that way, but who understand what I'm talking about are more successful in politics. For instance, in professional wrestling and politics, most of what we see is for show. And most of the drama that we see is created to enhance the show. And so you have to take all that into consideration. And if you think it is a serious endeavor that, you know, should be above, you know, all of this charade and nonsense, then you're way out of touch. That is just not where politics is. Politics is always down and dirty in the gutter because it's about the struggle for raw power, the ability to influence people, to impose your will on the world.
So, Chris,
that is what it's about.
You're trying to tell me he's body slammed all the Republican candidates for about 5 or 6 or 7 or 8.
Let's just say if it was a battle royale.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
What are you trying to tell me now? He's already thrown them all over the top of the rope, right?
One ball, loser leave town, no time limit. Here we go.
Now, if one of the other ones picks up and understands what he's doing, and I think that there's somebody who is cagily sort of watching and sort of like a NASCAR driver, you know, laying back in the pack.
Drafting.
I think Ted Cruz is kind of doing that, and he's biding his time. None of the other ones, though, I don't think any of them get it. And I think Ted Cruz, and of course he said it, if you remember in his filibuster, he likened what goes on in Washington sometimes to the WWF, he called it, right?
Right.
And
he's listening to our show.
If you've ever been a debater, a serious debater, you know what I'm talking about. Because debates, it's all part intellectual, but it definitely is also part emotional. And if you leave out the emotional element, or if you think that the emotional element is inappropriate, then you are handicapping yourself. And that's what the Republicans have done for a long time. That's something they could learn from the likes of Donald Trump. And if they're reluctant to learn that lesson, well, then they'll only repeat getting spanked again.
I think Rick Perry's learning. I saw him on TV today, and guess what? Not one criticism of Donald Trump, because his money's running out. He may have to call Mr. Trump
for some more. That's right.
Hey, could you send me some bucks? I'll play like I like it, buddy.
All right. Well, speaking of calling, we got a couple of callers on the line, so let's take Craig first, who held through the news break. We appreciate that, Craig. Thank you for calling and being out there.
Yeah. Hey, you guys.
Howdy.
Hey, I just came to the realization that if the United States gets into a war with Russia, that'll weaken us to the point where the Islamics can take over the entire world. And, you know, let's say that we had a president who happened to have grown up Islamic, maybe, or something, and then...
Pretty sure.
Yeah, and then the politicians are all wanting to go to war with Russia, because Russia and the United States are the only, well, with China, they're kind of getting mad at the Islamics, as far as I know. But us three together in one group fighting, let's say, the axis of evil, we would defeat them. But if we're fighting amongst ourselves, we lose.
Yeah, well, I you're absolutely right. Here's the real, there's a couple of real problems in what you, not in what you're saying, in if that were to play out. One, as our Secretary of Defense has been telling us, the prior one, and I believe this one now too, we cannot fight more than one war effectively at a time now. Thank you very much for all the defense cuts, and Barack Obama and Bush, for that matter. And two, the Russians are cozying up to Iran. So they could actually work together to destabilize the world and bring us down. And then, of course, Russia, a guy like Putin, thinks, well, I'll take care of the, I'll use the Iranians to take care of the United States, then I'll take care of the Iranians. So you're absolutely right. We have serious problems going on there. And the only way to deal with these problems is peace through strength. We have got to re-strengthen ourselves, and we got to do it fast, and we got to have someone in the White House who will put that element of doubt, that fear of God, in the enemy's minds. You know who Donald Trump kind of reminds me of a little bit, too, and this is kind of off the wall, if you will. Craig, are you still with us?
Yeah.
He kind of reminds me a little bit of Muhammad Ali, especially when he first fought Sonny Liston. All right. Muhammad Ali, of course, back then he was Cassius Clay, but he was over the top. He was challenging Sonny Liston. He was in Sonny Liston's face. He was saying, I'm going to beat you, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, all this nonsense. Mm-hmm. And it intimidated Sonny Liston. Sonny Liston thought, this is a crazy guy. As a matter of fact, I saw a documentary, and Sonny Liston told his friend, he said, you know, I'm worried about him because he's crazy, and you never know what a crazy guy is going to do. That is what we need in the White House. Somebody that puts that element of doubt, that element of fear in our enemies' minds. And then we build up our military, and then they begin to rethink and recalculate. That is the only way we're going to be able to get out of this without getting into a serious war, in which case we would be in jeopardy of losing.
But the other thing, Chris, don't you really believe this should be? You know, the problem is we do spend a lot of time, you know, on issues that really aren't a top priority to us. In other words, this war issue, this nuclear issue, is, you know, everything else is really secondary if we're not alive. And I would like to see, which Trump is really the first to bring it up, we have to have such a powerful, powerful nation, because from everywhere you read, it looks like China's within 3 years of first strike capability. One morning you get up and Washington's gone, Atlanta's gone, and maybe you're gone. And the people have to understand the terror of nuclear weapons, and I think it's going to get them real easy to vote once they understand that, yes, the abortion issue is very important. Yes, whoever delivers the cake to the wedding, I'm not sure what that is. But, you know, they got to understand this.
Yeah, Craig, go ahead.
Yeah, that's the That's thanks to Loral Space Corporation for the missile guidance system.
And the Clinton administration. Yeah,
they did a nice job. Well, that's part of their whole package, which she'll soon be going to the big house anyway.
And by the way, we're still doing the same thing now. The Obama administration recently approved giving the Chinese nuclear technology that they can make more efficient reactors for their ships and their submarines.
And quiet.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
It's insanity. Right. Hey, Craig, thanks for being
here. Just get the word out, everybody in the audience. Get the word out to the politicians. Do not go to war, especially with Russia.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Not winnable.
No, it's not. And it would be bad for the whole world. You're absolutely right. Hey, thanks, Craig. I appreciate you being out there.
They're supposed to have a certain type of Polaris missile that they could sit off, and actually they could hit us without us detecting them.
Well, and of course, the worst fear is that they would just pop one off over the Midwest out there.
Here we go.
And cause an electromagnetic problem, and then we're all, you know, starve to death.
You remember the book.
We end up killing each other.
Right.
How about that? All right, let's go to Diane now, who's been holding. Thank you for calling, Diane.
Hey, you guys. You are awesome.
Thank you, ma'am. So are you.
Thank you so much for introducing me to Irene Doyle. We were down there today.
Tell us how it went. By the way, real quick, let me sort of update everybody, and some folks may have not listened last night. We had Irene Doyle on. She's the Orlando rally captain for the rally that was against Planned Parenthood. There were two, actually, today, one in front of Bill Nelson's office, the other in front of Alan Grayson's office. And they called it the Women Betrayed Speak Out Day. And you went.
I did.
That's great.
So tell us what happened.
It was amazing. There was about 70 people in front of Bill Nelson's office.
Fantastic.
That's an amazing office. Please. We're paying for that?
I know. It's pretty nice. I know. Yeah, it's not too far from my house.
Was he there, Diane?
I'm sorry?
Was he there?
I am not sure that he was there.
He's probably up in a rocket ship or something.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
But, it was amazing. Every TV station in the world was out there.
Cool.
And Irene was amazing. And JJ was there with her friend.
Good.
And it was an amazing time. I'm surprised I can still speak.
I want to thank you and JJ and any of our other listeners that were there. Because this is what Craig was talking about. We need to be active. We need to let these politicians know, whether they're on our side of the aisle or the other side of the aisle,
where we
stand.
She was correct, Irene, yesterday. Planned Parenthood had a meeting with, they wanted to meet with Nelson, and he refused.
Yeah.
So hopefully he's running scared now, of course, Grayson, the creep that he is. You know,
how can you say that?
He's already out there saying there's just no way, you know, that he's going to not run with Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, absolutely,
It's disgusting, disgusting.
It is.
He's got a crappy little office right there.
It sort of matches his style.
Yeah, but see, what we have to understand, too, and this is why I'm so happy that you and JJ and others went out there, and Irene and people around the whole. She said there were at least 32 cities around the nation that were doing this yesterday, and there's going to be another protest Saturday, and I will remind you about that here in a moment.
Is that
like you said, the TV stations were there.
They were all there.
That's great.
There wasn't any. There were only Channel 13 was out at Grayson's because it's just I don't know.
It's a lot more convenient, nice to do the one downtown. But what I'm getting to is that not only were you delivering a message to Nelson and Grayson,
but the world.
Exactly. Everybody who's going to see that on television, everybody who drove by there, are being exposed to this.
Yeah.
And this is how this battle is won. One of the reasons why more and more young women and women in general are choosing abortion less is because they are seeing it
and understanding.
Right. Exactly. And the more we can get these videos, the more we get this information about Planned Parenthood out there, the more it's going to work against the pro-choice side of the argument. I guarantee
you. I just want my grandbabies to know that I stood for them.
Hey, Diane, when you were out there, were you out in front of the crowd? I mean, you need one of those Hillary for prison T-shirts, 2016.
Oh, I have to tell you, Mike, I was talking to a guy at the Alan Grayson deal,
here we go.
He said, yo, I saw this awesome bumper sticker about Hillary for prison.
That was my car.
But you know what, Diane? You actually can get them. In all seriousness, to all listeners, all you have to do is just go to the website, look up Hillary for prison 2016. Now, they may have changed it back down to 2015. I'm not sure. But actually, you can get them. You can get the T-shirt for $20. You can get the stickers for like $7. But, I mean, I've never seen a product that so many people love. And you know what? It keeps getting the message across. Yeah. This lady has no trust associated with her. And I wonder about all her followers. It's called moral fiber. Don't you wonder about that? Who could ever vote for
absolutely,
her?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that's what's
and
being...
I want to let you know, too, there was a lot of Hispanics in front of Alan Grayson's building.
Wow. Fantastic. Wow. Fantastic. All right, great. Thanks for the report. Thanks even more for going out there, and thanks even more for listening.
Thanks for stopping by.
Absolutely.
Thanks for reporting it and letting us all know that it was going to happen.
All right. Well, we appreciate that.
I love you guys. Bye.
Thank you, Diane. All right, we'll take a break and be right back. Welcome back to the show, folks. If you're out there riding that crazy train, just hang on. We'll help you get off of that thing. All right, 407-774-8255 is still the phone number if you want to be a part of the show, like Stan and Diane, who just called in. Real quickly, where was I here? Where's my notes? Here I am. Here I am. The rally this Saturday for the against Planned Parenthood that Diane was just talking about. There were two rallies held today at Bill Nelson's office and Alan Grayson's office. The one Saturday is going to be held at the Planned Parenthood Clinic that is in downtown Orlando on Tampa Avenue, directly across from the Citrus Bowl. So if you would like to go there, that will be Saturday morning. Downtown at the Citrus Bowl, and it will be at, I got the time right here, 10 a.m. And the address is 726 South Tampa Avenue. Once again, that's right across the street from the Citrus Bowl. 10 a.m. Saturday rally at the Planned Parenthood Clinic against what Planned Parenthood is doing. There will also be one in Kissimmee, and that will be across the street from the Osceola Regional Medical Center, and that'll be at noon.
So, one thing, Chris, they ought to remember, wear your Hillary for prison T-shirt. I mean, can you imagine, though, if you're out there and the media's out there and then you have a whole bunch of people with those T-shirts standing out in front, what is the media going to do? They're going to probably try to take the backside of your picture because, I don't know, they're going to be shocked when they see people lined up with stickers like this.
I don't think they'll be as shocked as we might think. Speaking of shocking, there's shocking news out of the Army today. Two women have evidently successfully completed ranger training, sort of. And what I mean by sort of is, of course, we talked about this with Colonel McKnight. Yeah, was it last week or a week or so ago when he was in with us. And Danny spoke with the general who's in charge of the ranger battalions. And the general assured him that the women would have to complete the same requirements as the men. And then, of course, Danny asked, yes, but are these the same requirements that you and I had to, complete, that we had to successfully deal with? And the general said, well, no, they are not. In other words, they lowered the standards, regardless of what the Army is saying. This is from our source, from Colonel McKnight. And they also gave these women three shots at the bell, so to speak, whereas normally you only get two if you are a man. Now, the fact that they have completed ranger training does not mean that they will be assigned to a ranger battalion. However, it means that they could be assigned to a ranger battalion. By the way, the ranger motto is "Rangers lead the way." They are oftentimes considered the tip of the spear. They go in first in an invasion. They oftentimes parachute in. They also go in as scouts to scout airstrikes and where others can safely enter into a theater of combat. So they are the first ones in, and they of course are in great jeopardy.
Yeah, so, Chris, my concern about all that is, you know, this is, again, the idea, okay, equality and all that. Well, you know, women, obviously you could translators, things of that nature. But my concern is, look what happened with that Kayla girl with Mr. Baghdadi from ISIS.
Yeah.
What happened to her? You know what happened to her?
Yeah.
Everybody knows in the paper.
Right.
They raped her and they raped her and they raped her.
Yeah.
Now, you tell me, women soldiers on the front line, right, the spear, they go into combat and they are caught. What do you think is going to happen?
Same thing.
You got it. I mean, you know, what happens is these are liberals, I think, who generally put this concept out that we will, okay, and we want, you know, if women want to be in there, fine. They make great fighter pilots. They do this, that. But what's going to happen when you get ground troops and these people get caught in a jam and all of a sudden they're captured?
It's a game changer.
It's going to be a big time. And boy, and when the stories come back, and this Kayla girl really gives you the answer of what's going to happen.
And also, let's look at it this way, too. And once again, this information came to us from Colonel McKnight, who spoke with the general, who's in charge currently of the Rangers. If they lowered the standards for all of the Ranger trainees, then we are getting a little bit less of an elite fighting force, are we not?
Yes, which I think, again,
this, in other words,
you
the men are
dilute
even,
your abilities.
Right. And I that's mean, what we're doing.
It's life and death. And if we can't keep it at the highest level, then a change needs to be made.
And that's what we need to do. We need to make some serious changes.
Like the White House.
Exactly. And alluding to Craig's call. And when I was talking about Muhammad Ali, I mean, that may sound like it's off the wall. But here was Muhammad Ali, a guy who was barely out of being out of amateur boxing, going up against the Mike Tyson of the day in the height of his career.
Right.
And nobody gave Ali a chance. No one gave him a chance except Sonny Liston. Because Sonny Liston was afraid of Muhammad, of Cassius Clay,
mm-hmm.
this little skinny black kid out mm-hmm. of Louisville. He was afraid of him because he didn't know what to expect. The in politics, whether it's in domestic politics or international politics, international law, international relations, perception is reality. If you are perceived as weak, the rest of the world will take that and act upon it. If you are perceived as unpredictable and or strong, the rest of the world will act with a whole lot more caution.
You know, that would be very interesting, honestly, to ask Trump, would you put women in the front lines of a combat zone?
All right. Well, you know, if we ever get him on the show,
he could ask
I'll
Megyn
ask
Kelly
that. That's right. All right. Okay. We still have another half hour of the show. Don't forget to go of the show. Don't forget, because the Rays are playing at 8:05. The pregame show doesn't start until 7:30. So we'll still be on the airwaves, FM 105.5 and AM 660.
It's political, professional wrestling at its finest. The American Adversaries.
All right, where we lead the way in talk radio. All right, welcome back to the show. I am Christopher Hart, along with Michael McBath. We are here live in the studio. 407-774-8255 is the number. So give us a call if you like. Real quickly, before we get back to the show, once again, kids are going back to school. Seminole County Schools started this week. Orange and Osceola start next week. But it's never too late to get your child or grandchild or neighbor's child, niece, nephew, whoever, into a great Christian school. And the best way to do that, of course, is via half-price tuition. And the best way to do that is go to AmazingRadioDeals.com. Check out all the great schools like Apopka Christian Academy, King of Kings Lutheran in Maitland, Johnson University in Kissimmee. I mean, these schools are all over Central Florida. Half-price tuition is available right now at AmazingRadioDeals.com. AmazingRadioDeals.com. Please take advantage of it. And by the way, there are other great deals, not just half-price tuition, but other great things going on there, too, as well. I believe also a kitchen deal, half-price kitchen. How about that? AmazingRadioDeals.com is the place to do that. While you're on the computer, please go to AM660TheAnswer.com, become an answer seeker, and take the Dreams Come True survey. You might win $5,000. All you have to do is take the survey, and you'll be in the drawing for that $5,000. And somebody's going to win it. The only way that you will be guaranteed not to win it is not to take the survey. So please take the survey. It's going to ask you a question or two about yourself, but mostly they want to know what you think about the broadcasting, the programming, I should say, here. And they also are going to ask, who is your favorite host? And that's where you can put in Mike McBath, MC, capital B-A-T-H.
I look like Brad Pitt.
Just make sure you put in American Adversaries, Mike McBath, Chris Hart, American Adversaries.
Two swinging guys from South Jersey.
Exactly. The reaction we want the survey takers to have is, who are these guys? Okay. If they are asking that question, we, that is to say, you have done your job and spoken up for us. So please do so. And if you don't like our show, if you like Mike Gallagher, if you like Bill Bennett, Michael Medved, Dennis Prager. I love Dennis Prager. He's so smart. All the guys are. Hugh Hewitt, who, of course, is going to be one of the hosts, one of the moderators, and he promises to be a true moderator.
These are all Beltway people, though.
At the next debate, that's the CNN Salem Media Group debate, which will be, that's the Republican debate, September 16th. Anyway, here's your opportunity to have your say. AM660TheAnswer.com, Answer Seekers, Dreams Come True Survey, American Adversaries, favorite show, please, and perhaps you will win $5,000. Make your Christmas a whole lot nicer, wouldn't it? All right. Speaking of making things nicer, I was pleasantly surprised. At first, I thought it was Jim Harris, the guy who was just in town and at the golf tournament the other day. You know, of course, played the Buffalo for the Buffalo Bills quarterback. But actually, it was a fellow by the name of Harris Son,
right?
Who his children came home with their little trophies for simply participating in sports. And he says, take them back. He says, you only get trophies around here if you deserve them. And it seems to be a pretty popular stance.
Well, you know what has happened, though? I agree. Because what has happened,
and
again,
by the way, this guy was, he played on Penn State, and he ended up playing for the Buffalo Bills. Is the fella Harrison?
James Harrison. No, I think this one.
Am I still getting it mixed up?
Yeah, you're getting it mixed up. Okay. Yeah, let me cover the football.
All right, you do. You take the football.
You cover Hillary's wedding, I'll cover the... No. When we get married. No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Her and
now,
Huma?
Just what we were talking about.
Huma and Hillary?
I know. I call it winning or whining, which I like that expression I heard today. And you know, the point behind it is, again, this is another PC job that was put on the American public probably 5-6 years ago.
Real quick, let me ask you this. Is he an active player?
Yes.
Okay, Harrison is an active player. In the NFL.
In the NFL. But the point was, I'm sure it's not just his viewpoint. It's a lot of people's viewpoints. In other words, do you think that when football teams on a college level or the professional level, when they start practice on Monday to play the game on Sunday, that they're... the goal is to tie? Do you think that's the goal?
Do you think
college team, they want to come out and make sure that each team scores the same amount of points, everybody has a equivalent game, whether it's good or bad?
They would call that soccer.
Yeah. Or they call it, they might call it being on the left side. Because, again, we're promoting mediocrity.
Right.
We're not pushing to get the best out of our children. That doesn't mean torture them or anything out there when they're out in the field. It means you want to strive to do the best you can. And I think the best thing parents can do with young children, when I say young, you know, let's say 6 to 15, 16, understand a lot of these kids are in a growth phase. So one kid that might be extremely slow at 10 years old, who might be at the bottom of the pack, by the time he's 16, might be the fastest guy in the team. And I can tell you that story because in ninth grade, I weighed 120 pounds. My sophomore year in high school, you know, I weighed 155 pounds. And guess what? Within 2 years, I grew like 8 inches, gained. I was up to 225 and one of the best players in the state of New Jersey. But you know what? If I'd have been just evaluated, I never gave up. I would eat 8-9 meals a day. I wanted to play football. I wanted to be the best. Now, can you imagine if I just accepted, oh, thanks, Dad, for the flag. What, did I play this month? Oh, I don't know if you did, son. You know, that doesn't cut it, you know, and it doesn't teach our kids to compete in the world business place. You know, I was an extremely good businessman because you want to compete, I love to compete. And that's what we got to teach our children, compete, compete, compete. But with passion and understanding and always encourage them. Say, hey, you might not win today, but you know what? With more preparation, I always call it a focused aim and a burning desire.
And it's not just to compete for the competition's sake. It's because the competition causes one to excel. In other words, improve their performance repeatedly, over and over and over. It reminds me of Michael Jordan.
Right.
Michael Jordan, probably some would argue the greatest basketball player ever, certainly in the top five, no question about that. Michael Jordan was cut from his high school basketball team. His coach told him, you're not good enough, kid. You go home, you practice some more, you maybe play on some of these other, you know, non-school leagues, and you come back. Otherwise, forget it. And so what did Michael Jordan do? He went and he worked harder so he could excel. He went back, he made the team, and then the rest is history, almost. All right, he gets to play for the Chicago Bulls, and it kind of happens again, only this time it was the competition who pushed him. When he played his first playoff final, the Bulls was against the Pistons, when the Pistons were on their riding high with Bill Laimbeer, Isaiah Thomas, they were known as the Bad Boys, okay? They came in, and on paper, the Bulls were a far better team. The Pistons came in, and basically their strategy was make Jordan pay. In other words, anytime he got the ball, they fouled him. They fouled him hard. If he went to the basket, they knocked him on the floor. And if they didn't knock him on the floor, the rest of the team came up and said, why didn't you knock him on the floor? And so Jordan, he kind of complained about it, but guess what he did during the off season? He lifted weights. He built up his body. He became stronger. And now he has a fist full of championship rings, and he thanks, in part, the Detroit Pistons for knocking him to the floor.
Right. And again, that's really somewhat not a truly common story, but a story among great athletes. But you know, even to be an average athlete, and you have to start and, you know, break your back. You can never stay with the crowd. I think, and then you reflect on to the business community. Every business wants what? The most productive people they can find.
People who excel.
You know, now, if you don't want to compete, I'd advise you to go to Washington, get a government job. You won't have to do anything. You can really mess things up, just like we say with the EPA, and you'll still be taken care of. So you can go pick up one of those ribbons up. But the reality of it is there's nothing greater than competition, and that's what's made this country as great as it is today.
And by the way, the position that Harrison has taken is turning out to be quite popular, even amongst a lot of liberals.
Oh, so, I'm sure it will be, because I think we're all, you know, this was a PC job again, you know, political correctness.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody gets a ribbon. Come on, you know, let's everybody go out, compete, do the best we can. And then those who were at the bottom will say, you know what? I want that trophy. I'm going to compete harder than I ever did in my life. But, or he could say, hey, I got what I needed. I don't need to do much. Oh, wait a second. That sounds like what goes on in our society today.
Just think.
Well, that's right. We're under the Obama. Oh, he was a great competitor, wasn't he?
Yeah.
What a loser in basketball. I mean, have you ever seen the tapes of Obama in basketball? Two left hands.
Oh. All right. While we're talking a little bit of football, Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow played this weekend for the Eagles. And there we go. Football. He actually looked pretty good on a few of those passes. His first pass was a bullet right down the middle, about a 30-yard pass for a completion. He completed a handful of passes, about 70 yards, scored a running touchdown. Respectable, respectable. He's still fighting for the third-string spot on the team, but I think he's going to make the team. He's very popular. And he is a diverse player that the coach can put in situations. What do you call it? A situation player?
Yeah, a situation. Here's my one concern, though. I hate to be like the damper, but, you know, I'm a big Tebow fan because he just projects the right image. He knows how to act. He's great for a football team.
But is he good enough?
I thought his game was average.
Okay.
I think he ended up 6-for-12, something like that. Now, I will say, to be fair to him, he was in there with the second and third team line. You know, he was getting rushed heavily, so therefore, you know, his passing skills would not be magnified in the positive sense. But the other thing that I heard, Tim, and I hope, oh boy, was the guy in front of him, Barkley from Southern Cal. This guy actually had a great game. nothing's worse than the guy you're trying to beat out, and he has a great game, and you're sort of struggling because you're down there with the scrubs, and the scrubs aren't making their blocks, and then, you know, you can't get out of your own way. I think he played well enough that he's going to get a chance again to play next week, and maybe they'll take Barkley and trade him, because I think Barkley trades so well that he looked like he's just about a tradable commodity, which they might do that if they like Tebow enough. So, you know, I thought it was good, but
Still, though, he should have to make the team based on his skill and if he can contribute to the team.
Right.
And he doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, the greatest passer to contribute to the team.
Right. I mean, they got to look at all aspects because you look at, I call it the locker room. You know, you need some guys in the locker room who are real positive guys that the guys can, and you need that moral fiber to come through the locker room, as we've seen every day in the paper. This guy picked up, that guy picked up. No, you need a quality guy. So the question is, he just needs to show enough that they can justify it, and I think they're going to make it easy on him. But, boy, a little rough of a start at this point. A little bit rough.
Okay.
All right. I'm a Tebow fan. Don't get me wrong. 100%. 100%.
All right. Okay. I tell you, we're coming up on the break. I did want to just mention this story here. The Tuskegee Airman, and I don't have his name in front of me. There was a Tuskegee Airman recently who was on his way to see his granddaughter.
That's a terrible story.
Did you hear about this? He stopped to ask for directions.
Breaks your heart. Breaks your heart.
Stopped to ask for directions. Gets robbed by the people that he asks directions for. He's in his car. So he drives on and comes upon someone else that he asks for help and explains that he just got robbed. So this person takes his car.
Now, was he in Baltimore or was he in Philadelphia? Where was he?
You want to talk about no respect, man. That is no respect.
Oh, that is absolutely terrible. That's what a cheerful story. Thanks, Chris.
I guess the moral of the story is, if somebody's asked you for directions, don't rob them or take their car.
Oh.
He might be a Tuskegee Airman. Of course, I know none of you would do that, so just pass the advice on to someone who you think just might. We'll be back. All right, welcome back to the show, Mike. That's your favorite song, isn't it?
Yes, but I'm depressed.
Because
you know what happened this weekend? The Predators lost their first and only playoff games. This isn't where you get a ribbon. This is where you're told to go home. And they did lose, and
unfortunately,
they had a great year. The coach is still a great coach, pretty reasonable crowds, and bigger and better things next year. But it was a disappointing loss to their big rival, the Jacksonville Sharks.
Yeah.
So for Predator fans, next year. sorry about that, buddy.
Hey, real quick, speaking of Jacksonville, Blake Bortles, how do you think he did?
I think he had a very good game. I think he had about 131 yards passing, and for the time that he was in, you know, he did an exceptional job. The one that disappointed me the most, but I sort of expected it, was our friend Winston sitting over there with the Bucks.
Jameis.
Yeah, he, you know, I'd call at best very average game, and but that can be, you know, associated with the fact that it was his first game.
Yeah, rookie.
But you know, he just... He didn't look very polished at all, and certainly what you should expect the next game. You'll see a major jump in performance from the first to the second game, and so it'll be very interesting to see how he does perform. Now, you know, I look at those three quarterbacks, and if I have to rate them this week, Bortles first, Tebow and Winston tied for second. Sounds like a ribbon to those two, doesn't it? You know, okay, Bortles, you can pick up the trophy, and Tebow and Winston, hey, you're even, okay?
So we'll see.
One other great announcement in actually football this day is the Redskins announced for sure they will not change their name.
Go Snyder.
Great.
There was another great announcement having to do with college football. The NLRB, National Labor Relations Board, decided not
to allow the
players to unionize. And the reasoning they gave was much along the lines of what you were saying.
We discussed that. That's exactly right. Because how are you ever going to compare, let's say, Penn State playing you know, Northwestern? Northwestern, they hold 30,000 in their stands, and Penn State holds 105,000.
Right.
And you think you're going to have equal
comparable
wages?
Right.
Don't think so.
No.
And if I was a Penn State player, I'd say, I'm not taking the same as that loser Northwestern.
Sure.
There's 30,000 people. I got 105. And virtually they came out and just said it would be too complicated, too big a mess. But obviously what happened in Northwestern, I believe, is probably one of the Obama advisors went and talked to him from the NLRB. And then, you know, once the guy woke up off of drugs, he realized that, you know, this isn't going to work.
Yeah, really. Hey, real quick, I got this text from Dr. K. Thanks for listening, Dr. K. We'll be seeing you tomorrow night at the NFL meeting. / party. He says, does the article say, he's talking about the Tuskegee Airmen, does the article say one of those white yuppies robbed him and took his car, and another one took his car? No, they weren't white yuppies, unfortunately. They were from the hood. he was cruising through the hood, and of course, being a Tuskegee Airman, he's a black man, and of course, that didn't give him any credit with the people who stole his money and then took his car, too. So anyway,
that really is a sad story,
it
though.
Is.
I mean, you know,
you got to respect your elders. I don't care who you are. I mean, right? You got to respect your elders.
Is with all these communities, with the police the way they are, and I understand where the police are coming from. I mean, without police, we'd have total anarchy, and you just wonder, you know, are they always going to be 2-3 minutes late? You know, unless we back the police more, not less. You know, I think we're going to really see. Look at the murder rates. They're just accelerating in Baltimore. They're accelerating in Philadelphia. They're accelerating. Well, in Chicago, you can't accelerate. It's so high that I'm going up there. Wonder, what am I going to do?
Pack. And I don't mean your bags.
Pack some heat, brother.
Yeah, there you go.
No, I wouldn't do
all
that.
All right, before we get out of the football thing, Michael Sams.
We were talking about, I think once a week we're going to have our day of rage. And this really does irk me no end. And my day of rage, I'm dedicating to the new Orlando prayer room for the Muslims. But, you know, hopefully they're paying for it and not my tax dollars.
So,
I'm going to be out there soon, so I am going to find out. Boy, I don't want one of my dollars going into that.
According to the Sentinel, we're paying for it, $250,000 worth.
I would like that when they fly in here, I'd like them to maybe be charged to make sure they pay for it, because I have enough taxes to pay, right?
So that got you outraged.
Oh, well. Well, that's part of it. But this Michael Sams deal really irks me. Michael Sams quit again for the second time for the Montreal Alouettes.
Canadian
Football
League.
Now, my question to every sports individual, remember a year and a half ago when he groped that kid on TV? I mean, it was disgusting, because I never saw heterosexual people grope each other like he did on TV. And then, you know, I'm sure all the media was shocked, but you know what they all did? Here's the politically correct thing. Oh, he's such a good player. He was the SEC Player of the Year. Well, you know, how come he got cut from two teams, couldn't make a Canadian team, which is no better than an arena football team, and he was SEC Player of the Year? Well, let me tell you, if I was the 20 guys that played in the SEC and now I'm on a pro roster and I see this guy didn't do anything and I wasn't Player of the Year, was there an outside influence in determining this? And think about ESPN when, you know, he was drafted. It should have told you he stunk anyway. He got drafted third to the end of the round, right?
Yeah.
Well, there should have been a hint there, but yet everybody came out, because remember, they're owned by Disney, you know. Oh, he is the greatest player, and it'll be so neat, and he'll just work so well in the locker room. I wonder how well he did work in the locker room. It's been three teams now in less than a year and a half. So you know what? It is what it is. And again, I don't care what gays do. They can do anything they want. You know, good luck, have a good life, and you know, whatever. But the answer is you can't be doing political correctness when reality is this guy was SEC Player of the Year and he didn't make an NFL roster? Yeah, wonder how he got the award.
Doesn't say so much for the SEC, does it?
Well,
but it's, once again, this I do believe is faddish, and I do believe it will fade away, just like that Jenner show, Caitlyn, they call it. You know, I caught a little bit again weekend, and it is not entertaining at all. It is all about pushing the agenda. The agenda, in this case, of course, being the transsexual agenda. And they're going out of their way to talk about how the only problems these people have is that they are not accepted.
Mm-hmm.
No, that is not it at all. They have serious psychological
problems.
Issues.
Yeah,
absolutely. Has nothing to do with anybody else but themselves. And unfortunately, they're painting a false picture of this, and it is... I do believe, going to cause a lot of young people to make wrong choices in their lives because, you know, the old saying, monkey see, monkey do.
Yep. And I just wonder if maybe Michael Sams is going to join together with Bruce Jenner in a new TV show, I'm Lost.
You know? It couldn't be worse than the one he's running right now, I tell you.
And think about Bruce Jenner, that's what I'm calling him. Think about how he got this award, and it was so exciting. And now his ratings are down the tube. No one even talks about him. He'll probably never see another cover again unless he goes back to the Kardashians. And I wonder if, like I say, I wonder if he's going to swing back. You know, so we'll see.
In the end, I predict that he will be seen as having provided a disservice to the transsexual community because it is a serious issue that should be handled seriously by professionals who understand what they're doing, not by producers of TV shows who are trying to make a buck off of it.
Well, you know, Chris, I'm hungry for spaghetti.
Well, all you have to do is go to Cafe Positano, and of course we'd love to have you folks join us there on September the 28th when we have a spaghetti eating contest. We got Reggie Branch, who's going to represent the American Adversaries. We got the Shriners are going to put up a guy, and they're going to have a contest to figure out what guy will be in our contest. And you got one of the Predheads.
We got one of the Predheads who have the biggest fan club around here,
and they're going to come out.
Yeah, they're coming out,
and
they may wear some of their costumes, which pretty scary, but it is going to be pretty exciting. And I think that we got to keep it to five or six
contestants.
And I think, as we've talked about, we're going to start with that pound of spaghetti, two meatballs, and then we're going to see who can take it down and how fast. So this is going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm going to bet on Reggie.
All right. Well, you're welcome to join us, and certainly you will be in for a big night. And once again, if you're a member of the American Adversaries Army, that will be the night that we will draw to see who can go on our cruise with us for free. That's our Come Sail Away With Me cruise. And the cabins on that are booking up, so I want to thank all you folks who have booked those cabins. Once again, I want to thank Diane and JJ and anyone else who listened to the show last night who went out to the rally against Planned Parenthood today. And don't forget about the rally Saturday at 10 a.m. at the Planned Parenthood Clinic on Tampa Avenue across from the Citrus Bowl. Thanks, Mike.
All right. It was fun.
All right. And we'll see you tomorrow night at the meeting. Night, everybody.
News, opinion, passion, FM 101.